Harking Back with Emma Brennan. And this article is accompanied by some pictures of people riding all together as small children in a wheelbarrow, and a picture of a space hopper and one of a hula hoop. Space hoppers, kites and hula hoops were our idea of fun. And Emma recalls the various playthings which kept her and her friends amused in the 1970s. Some family friends recently held a birthday party for their two-year-old and hired a bouncy castle. Let's just say it wasn't a cheap source of entertainment, but the kids undoubtedly enjoyed leaping around on it. It got me thinking back to the kind of items we had to amuse us outdoors when we were children in the 1970s. As was the case with most things in those days, they were largely cheap and made from plastic or fashioned from found components by our dad. We were very fortunate that he was way ahead of his time when it came to upcycling. Most importantly, our outdoor toys were simple and inexpensive, but required a measure of imagination in turn to turn them into a game. They also taught us that it takes perseverance to master a skill, not just watching a YouTube video. In terms of the shopboat items, I'm thinking of in particular of hula hoops, frisbees, kites, and those icons of the 1970s, the space hopper. If you were lucky, you might have owned a pair of adjustable roller skates. My sister had some, but I never managed to master the art of standing upright with wheels attached to my feet, let alone skating anywhere. Hula hoops were probably among the simplest of toys and provided hours of fun or frustration, depending on your tenacity. Personally, I never achieved a sustainable hip swirl for more than 10 seconds, so the hoop sank to my ankles with alarming speed. I gained more exercise from continually bending down and picking up the hoop than I ever did through spinning it around my person. Some of my friends, however, became so proficient that they could even manage tricks using two hoops at once. Despite my personal lack of dexterity with a giant plastic ring, I can see that it was a great and very cost-effective way to keep fit. No need to go to a gym if you owned a hula hoop. Kites required even more skill to keep them aloft, not least the ability to recognise if the weather was suitable for flying. If there was no wind, it was a non-starter. If it was too windy, the kite would cry the crash into the ground, or worse still, get blown into the treetops. We lost many a kite in the branches of some pretty large oaks, and then spent several hours honing our skill with a cricket bat in a vain attempt to dislodge them from the foliage. There was no way my dad was scaling an oak tree to retrieve a bit of plastic, so many a kite remained up the tree till gravity and bad weather brought them back to earth, long after they had become faded, tattered wrecks. One of the earliest recollections I have is of me and my sister making our own basic kites from paper tied from some string, although I can't imagine that these ever flew far. One of Dad's finest inventions was a go-kart made with a pram wheel at the front and back, and with a hinged front wheel section attached to a rope to enable it to be steered round corners. The only downside was that someone had to push, and most of us were very quickly wearied of being the pusher. It was undoubtedly more fun being the go-kart driver, but somehow we managed to sort it out amicably between us, so we each had a go. It was sociable and taught us about sharing. Plus, it expended a good deal of energy to push the go-kart. Dad was renowned for making us swings, wooden plank seats suspended from a tree with rope, and these provided hours of fun getting us outdoors in the fresh air. There was one occasion when the rope had become frayed from years of wear and tear. My sister gave me a hard push and sent me flying off into the ether as the rope snapped, and I hit the ground with such a thud that I was temporarily winded. Once I'd regained my breath and composure, I laughed it off and started crazing Dad to put up the swing safely again. We were tough cookies in those days. It's also worth noting that before we had the go-kart, we were open to a ride round the garden in the wheelbarrow, as long as one of the grown-ups was pushing it. We never owned a space hopper, but one of my cousins did. Apart from the obvious potential hazards involved with bouncing around on a giant orange ball with a crazy face and horns for handles, my cousin added to the drama by chasing me in his space hopper. Worse still, he would convince me to lie on the ground while he attempted to bounce over the top, leaving me feeling like the non-glamorous assistant in a magic show. Space hoppers seemed like such a modern craze at the time, and I did think it would be good to own one so I could at least get my own back on my cousin. But even the undeniable talents of my father did not stretch to him making us a space hopper. Nowadays, children seem to prefer to spend their time sitting in front of a screen rather than getting out and making their own fun with the kind of basics we had at our disposal. I used to laugh when my grandparents trotted out that "in my day" comments about how lucky we are to have so many toys compared with them. Who would have thought that some 50 years plus layers later that I would be mind-boggled by the virtual world inhabited by so many children these days, and that there would be an original space hopper circa 1968 in the Victoria and Albert Museum? Did you own a space hopper, kite or frisbee when you were a child? Or like me, did you have homemade outdoor toys? Please write to me with your views, recollections and pictures relating to this topic at ebrennanhere@gmail.com.